Praise God. Chapter 4, verse 24. Amen. Again, so honored to be here once again. Praise the Lord. Glad to have the church here with me. Amen. Verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Verse 19 says, our fathers worship. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh. Everybody say, seeketh. Such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm just going to do a, for memory's sake, the title of this message, called The Search is On. Amen?
Amen.
The search is on. Praise God. Just for reference sake, let's just turn to 2 Samuel. Chapter 6. Verse 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in this place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellow shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before his house to appoint me ruler over Israel, the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I pray before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus. Now be base in my own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of, them shall I be had in honor. Turn to somebody and say, the search is on.
Search is on.
Amen. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Let's thank Him. Father God, we thank You for being in Your house tonight. Thank You for Your people, God, that have been patient till this hour, God. Thank You for the opportunity to deliver Your word to Your people. I pray, Your Father God, that You would just bless me once again, God. Let my words be to the point, to the point, God. Let it be, hallelujah, an empowerment to Your people, God. Stir us up tonight, God. Though our flesh may be tired, God, and weary, but our spirit one desire You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We will not forget to give You all the praise and all the glory. Bless us today. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and shout unto the Lord? I know we may be tired, but lift up your voice to Him. For you. Thank you, Jesus. We may be seated. God bless you. You know, the manhunt, there's called things that are called manhunt, and there's a great manhunt now in our midst. Last time I heard, there's a $50 million bounty on Osama bin Laden's head. The great manhunt for his life, been wanted for so many evil things, including September 11th, which we're all familiar with. But he's an elusive man and can't be found even until now. You remember Saddam Hussein was a very hunted man, and he was found like a snake in a hole. looking like a New York City taxi cab driver. And if you ever been to New York, you know they do look like that. Hallelujah. But there are many men that have been hunted down, praise God. There are biblical men that have been hunted down. Elijah was hunted down by Ahab. Amen. Because he had prayed for rain to stop, and rain stopped for 3.5 years, and Ahab wanted Elijah's head. And we also know about David being sought after by Saul because of what God had instilled in David's life to become the king of Israel. And Saul knew that, and David was hunted, and he left and could not be found. But there have been numerous amounts of people that have been sought after for all types of reasons. Both good and bad. But God at times has the hardest of all searches. You see, God can be, we could be in God's house. He could be in His own house and not find it in His own house. God is searching for something so elusive that sometimes there may be a generation that passes and only a handful would be found, that the thing that God requires for, that God is searching for. In the midst of hundreds, maybe in this crowd, there may be only very few that God has really found to be the one that He's been looking for. You see, God is on a manhunt as well. Praise God. God is searching. I wrote this message up because it was the middle of the night, and I just finished a writing message that God had given me about authority. And as I was about to go to sleep, God gave me His word and said, "The search is on." And what is God looking for? What makes rather this man hunt so hard is that God is not looking for something He hasn't created. God is looking for something that His hands did not create. Because you see, if God was searching for gold and silver and diamonds, praise God, He would have found it already, because God is a God that sees all, knows all, in all, through it all. David said, "If I slept in hell, if I made my abode in hell, will He not find me there?" God is above all. He knows everything. And so God sees everything. Could you imagine an all-knowing God who is looking for something? The Bible says, "For God seek it." So I know that God is looking for something. How could a God that knows everything, sees everything, is still looking for something? Turn to somebody and look at them in the eyes. You know God is looking for something. The Bible says God seek it. If God is looking for it, it must be important. It must be precious, at least in His sight. The object of God's search is not silver and gold. We, as human beings, love to have found gold. We rejoice over a dollar we see in the street. And we lift it up and say, "Ha ha! Found a buck." And we romp around Norwich going, "Losers, weepers, finders, keepers." And we also say, "Well, God works in mysterious ways." But God is not looking for wealth or fame. Certainly the thing that God is looking for must be rarer than diamonds. And we know how diamonds are so rare. I should know. I just got engaged, so my wallet felt the rarity of the diamond. Watch it now. It's got to be more costly than gold. It's got to be more costly than any type of jewel that we would steam. See, the thing that God is looking for, again, let me reiterate, was not created by Him. For what God is looking for, it does not come out of duty or out of obedience. The thing that God is looking for is a matter of the heart. See, I just finished writing about obedience, and you must obey God, for all power comes from under the obedience of God. You can never really walk with authority unless you are under authority. The man said, you can just tell me, say the word, because I am also a man under authority. And you can never really know authority until you're walking under it. And you can never really know power until you're submitted to the powers that be, until you submitted to the power of God. That's the only way you will ever walk in power of God and with God, until you're under His power. You will never know power. But God is not looking for something out of duty or out of obedience. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because some people may just say, well, if He said it, I'll do it. And we'll get to that later. But the thing that God found and was looking for, rather, He's found it in Psalms. He found it in Abel. Abel, we know, sacrificed the best of his flock. He was a herder, and his brother Cain was a tiller of the ground. But it was not the, we can talk and discuss about the fact that God was looking for a blood sacrifice. But I believe what was really the reason that God respected Abel rather than Cain was that Cain just gave whatever, but Abel gave the best. See, I believe that both Abel and Cain understood the fact that God was calling for a sacrifice, but Abel thought in his mind, not only will I sacrifice as commanded, but I will give God the best. Cain gave what he was ordered. Abel gave what was in his heart. God found it in Noah. We understand that Noah was commanded by God to build the ark. Crazy man preached for 120 years saying, repent, 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 repent. Nobody listened to him. Built an ark right in the middle of land. No water in sight. Some of us build sometimes when there's no water inside. And people ask us, why are you building? There's no water here. Some people say, why are you building a church? There's no people here. It ain't the fact that I'm trying to build something God told me to build.
That's right.
See, I got to build because God told me. I wouldn't have started building had God not told me, but He told me to build. That's the thing God told me. So Noah built an ark. Hallelujah. Obeyed God. But after the flood, after Noah built the ark and the flood took them 40 years, I believe 40, how many days? 40 days. 40 days there on the flood, floating there. And as the ark rested on that mountain, the Bible tells us that when Noah stepped out, there was something that he built. He built an altar before God. The ark was a matter of obedience. But the altar, God never said, build an altar. Never told Noah, Noah, I want you, as soon as you come out of the ark, to build an altar. Never said that. But Noah built the ark by commandment. But the altar was by choice. God found it in Abraham. You know what God told Abraham? Get out of your country, man. Leave your father, your mother, your relatives, everybody there. Just take your family and leave. And not ever seeing God, not ever seeing the similitude of God, not ever seeing any type of image of God. He walked having heard the voice of God. And like a good servant, Abraham followed God. But in Shechem, in the plains of Moreh, Abraham builds God an altar. Let me tell you something, saints of God. Hallelujah. For him to follow God was the command. You go. And Abraham said, I'll go and pick up. But God never told him, when you enter this certain plot of land, I want you to build an altar. See, the thing that God is searching for, hallelujah, is nothing that can be commanded. These things come not from an obedient heart, but they come from a heart that is seeking God for more than what He commanded, seeking beyond to do what has been asked of him to do. Again, he left his family out of a command and obedience to a command. But Abraham built an altar out of choice. God found it also in David. know, before anyone ever noticed David, before he could obey the voice of God to lead his people as the anointed vessel, before the kingdom was ever established, David already had what God was looking for. David wrote songs, psalms, and hymns, and danced before God to the contempt of some, not because he had to, but because he loved God. And he wanted to. The word of God tells us what we read in 2 Samuel, that David, having heard the blessings that God has given over Abinadab's house, praise God, hallelujah, over Edom's house, rather, in the Ark of the Covenant, and David said, I want to bring the ark to my house. Never was it written to bring the ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And David said, but I, when I bring it to my little place there, I'm going to take every six steps. I'm going to build an altar before God. I'm going to sacrifice before God. David, don't you understand? It was never written in the law for you to take six steps and then offer a sacrifice. All it told you was to take the altar. All it told you was to take the ark. That's all it told you. But nothing ever told you. There was no command that told you. You had to sing. You had to play. You have to dance. There was no command to do that. And every six steps, as the ark was being relocated, David danced and worshipped God, not out of obedience, but out of will worship. See, God is not searching for religion or religious people. I said, God is not searching for religion or religious people. The woman of Samaria, the Bible tells us this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The woman said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Hallelujah. You see, what this woman was really saying is, look, they tell us we have to worship God on that mountain. And you tell us Jews you have to worship God over in this mountain. What this woman was saying, hey, in a sense what she was saying, tell me when, where, how to worship, and I'll do it. Come on, you ain't hearing me tonight. Tell me to clap and I'll clap. Alright now. Tell me to dance and I'll dance. Tell me to shout and I'll shout. Tell me to say hallelujah and hallelujah you. We become a Simon Says church. Hallelujah. But it's not any longer a matter of worship. But rather there's people that are just doing what Simon said. And it's like the Samaritan woman. She said, well, you tell us in that mountain, tell me wherever I should worship, and I will worship. You tell me to jump, I'll jump. You tell me to clap, I'll clap. And sometimes in our churches, we really have to do it. We have to say, oh, clap your hands, all you people. And everybody claps their hands. Oh, come on, it's time for us to sing. And everybody sings. It's time for us to shout. And everybody shout. But yet there's one person sometimes, and sometimes they get on our nerves because nobody told them to clap and they're clapping. They're getting on our nerves because nobody told them to shout and they're shouting. Nobody told them to dance and they're dancing. Nobody told them to sing and they're singing. Oh God! See, Jesus told them, you know what's wrong with you? You worship you know not what. In a sense, you're worshiping in ignorance. You're just clapping your hands just because. You don't really think about God when you're clapping your hands. But there's somebody that God is looking for. And that's why the search is on tonight. Because God is looking for that spontaneous, that outright bursting, that will worship God from the heart.
We meet at 11 o'clock Sunday, I'll be there, Pastor. We meet at 7 o'clock Friday, I'll be there, Pastor. We meet at 7:30 Wednesday, I'll be there, Pastor. Hallelujah. You tell me where, you tell me how, I'll be there. But they'll sit there like good old Christian folk and just sit with their hands folded. When the Holy Ghost is moving, they wait for you to make a move. They wait for you to stand up. I remember I was in this conference. You may sit down. Let me preach. I went to at this conference. I'm not going to tell you where it is because we're being videotaped. And somebody liable to hear where it was. Praise God. But there was about 800 people there. And I was there by myself. We were in Canada. At least I could say that much. And there was another brother there. We came from New York. And then you probably have never seen any New Yorkers like we, but hallelujah. We were there, and I was sitting about the third row up in the front, and the Holy Ghost was moving, and worship was going on. And they had I play the keyboard in the church, and I'm the only musician. So when I go to a place where there's fine music, and the musicians are anointed, and they play with such skill and such anointing and such desire that I can't help but to say, man, that's good. Praise God. But I was sitting there, and some people have gotten used to that, but I'm not used to it, you see. And so I stood up, and I began to praise God. I stepped out of my little pew, and I stepped out, and I went to the aisle, and I began to dance out where the front was. And there was 800 people. Most of them were white, and I was Filipino. I was kind of weird. Some chinky little kid jumping up and down. And when the preacher came and preached, I was right there. I was all by myself going, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Going crazy. And so that night, we went out to eat, some of the brethren from the conference, and this brother came to me and said, man, I wanted to be there with you. Ain't that the case? I wanted to be there with you. I said, why didn't you? He said, well, I looked to my left and my friends were all sitting there. I looked to my right and my friends were all sitting there. I didn't want to bother them. Is it a bother to worship God from your heart? Is it a bother to worship? Am I bothering you for being too noisy? Am I bothering you for being too hungry for God? There's something up tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is moving. Some of you just got woken up. Some of you just woke up. Your eyes were up. Your eyes were open, but you weren't awake. Hallelujah. But come on, somebody. I turned to him and said, brother, you just got to forget about them. Well, the first night they were all stuck to their pews, you know. Hallelujah. When they were singing, they stuck to the pews, and the pews were, the seats were right next to their leg as though there was some chain attached to the pew that you can't seem to just get out. But the next night, hallelujah, they stepped 3 feet away from their chairs, and they were praising God. And I was still up front, you know, giving it all I got. Saints of God, by the last night, they were going crazy. Why? Because God is searching just for one. He's just looking for just one person that is going to go beyond what's just been told. It is easy for me to clap my hands when I'm told. But when it's silent in church and there's nobody clapping their hands, nobody's speaking in tongues, nobody wants to dance, it's difficult. But there is God who is searching for somebody, and He's going to find it. I went to a youth explosion one time. Praise God. There was about 16 of us. Praise the Lord. And there was just a bunch of us there. There was our first time there. And people looked at us when we were coming in. We were in Indiana. Thank God we were in Alabama. But we were in Indiana. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the preacher was beginning to preach. And he was preaching about the tabernacle of David. And if you know anything about the tabernacle of David, that's the tabernacle of worship. Hallelujah. And people were glued to their seats. But my cousin looked at me. And I looked at him. And he took the handkerchief off his hand. Off his, you know, when the handkerchief comes out. Come on, Old Town Pentecost. You know when the handkerchief comes out. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you ever seen my cousin, he's a little portly. Praise God. He came out of the several last pews and he came through. There was about 20 pews from where we were. Hallelujah. And he was the only one. And I looked at him and said, "You ain't doing it alone, buddy." And I went and ran up. And I was jumping up and down throughout the whole service. Everybody was still sitting down. See, you can talk about worship and people just don't get it. They just sit down. Well, I was jumping up and down, and the preacher, listen now, the preacher was preaching about, talking about some young man who God delivered out of alcohol, God delivered out of drugs, and he turned over to me, and as he was preaching, and he said, "You don't know what that he may have gone through, but maybe God delivered him from drugs and alcohol, and from all these things." And in my mind, I was beginning to want to shout, because I was born in this thing. I never tasted drugs or alcohol. Why should we think that it is only because God delivered us out of something that we need to praise him? Why do we think that just because some people want to wait until God delivers them from something? I think God deserves worship even if he didn't deliver you from anything. I wanted to shout that night. I wanted to say, "Look, I was born in this thing. I have a right to worship him." God deserves worship. I may not have gone through alcohol addiction, but God still deserves the praise. I may not have gone through drug addiction, but God still deserves the praise. I may never have been a womanizer, but God deserves the praise. I may have never been locked up, but God deserves the praise. God deserves the praise. He deserves the praise. I notice some of us, praise God, we worship God on the basis of who we are. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't want to know what I'm talking about. We worship God on the basis of who we are. We sit down in church and we don't praise God because yesterday we fell into sin. Hallelujah. Ever seen them? Praise God. And then there's the next day the sister is just jumping up and down. And you're going, "What happened?" He said, "I've been good all week. God is worthy of praise. I've been good all week. I've been bad. I can't worship God today. I can't sing in the choir because I messed up." Whoever said that your worth is equal to God's worth. You ought to have never come to this place because you're worthy. You ought to have come to this place because he is worthy. I didn't worship God because he brought me through. I worship God for who he is. It don't matter if your picture was in today's paper saying God caught soul selling drugs. I want to tell you, God is still worthy of your praise. We had never based our worship on who we are or what we've done. If I messed up and I got locked up in jail, God is still worthy of my praise. Because it's not about who I am. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. The woman reveals to us why the thing God is seeking for is so hard to find. There will be many people who will worship God religiously by what they have been told. What makes it more difficult is that they think only following rules is what God is looking for when it comes to worship. True worshipers is when our worship comes from both the truth or the command of God and the spirit or our desire and our will. Praise God. Hallelujah. People find it easy. Let me talk about this. Because it's a worship. It's a form of worship. People will find it easy to pay their tithes. They'll find it difficult to give their offering. Ah. Am I talking to the right place here? Or... Oh, well, God commanded the tithes, and I don't know about the offering. The tithes is a command. That's the truth. But where's the spirit? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. There are people that would just, I came to church today, and that's all. I was told to go to church, and I came. Bunch of religious fancies or pansies. I don't know how they say it. A bunch of just religious pancakers. Oh, praise God. When are we going to ever break out? Well, we just say, I don't care about who's sitting next to me. I don't care who's about sitting beside me. I come to a conclusion that God is worthy of praise. Sometimes we wait for the right tone. Sometimes we wait for the right chord. Sometimes we wait for the right song. And say, well, I didn't get my feel of the Holy Ghost today because Sister so-and-so didn't sing it the way I wanted to. I didn't get the feel of God because the keys that were being played were offbeat. I didn't get the feel of God because the preacher didn't preach it the way I want to. He didn't say, Did you come for a show? Or did you come to give up a show? I said, did you come to see a show? Or did you come to give up a show? To God. To God. To God. To God. Sometimes we're so self-serving in the house of God. Serve me. Preach to me. Bless me. Come and praise me. But can't we ever get to a point where we step into God's presence and say, God, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to worship you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I used to run track when I was in high school, and as you can see, well, I may fool you, praise God. I used to run track, and I used to do dance. You know, I danced back then. And one night, I was in a service, a little old Pentecostal service, one of those dragon Pentecostal service. And there was just singing, maybe, let's sing something. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I was just, you know, like everybody else, down in my soul, just like the Bible says. And I was just clapping my hands, 15-year-old kid, I got the Holy Ghost. And then God spoke to me. He said, you used to dance in the world.
All right.
And they haven't done you nothing. Here's God speaking to me in the middle of the service. And he says, I've done everything for you. My God, I did the cabbage patch. I did the crisscross. I went crazy. I was dancing, going crazy. And the people looked at me. I don't know. I figured they looked at me. But I was dancing everything I knew how to dance. Hallelujah. I was giving it all I got. And I was just dancing. And God told me to dance. I was dancing. And they still, I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. You know, when somebody starts dancing like that, the song leader begins to pick it up. I got the Holy Ghost down. I was just dancing. And as I was dancing, the Lord told me, because I used to run for track and I used to shout and give up everything. You know, my face would turn red and everything. And God said, you used to shout for your teammates. And they've done nothing for you.
All right.
My God. I didn't even wait until God said, I've done everything for you. Why don't you shout for me? I knew exactly what God was doing. Brother Rutledge, I went ballistic that night. I realized what God was looking for. It's not that. It's not what we sometimes look for. It's this uncontrolled behavior that says, God, I want your attention. Oh, God, I want to please you. I want to be pleasing to you. And I shout it out loud. And I shout it, glory. Hallelujah. And I'm dancing and going crazy. Saints of God, that night I was so mightily moved with God's presence that it took two people to get me out of that church service. Why? Because it don't matter how a service is going on. I can't base my worship of God about the musician, the song leader, or any other thing. I've got to praise God for who He is. Some of you used to dance all night in the party floor, and now you don't even dance no more. Your hinges are already needing oil. That's what you need. You need a little oil. You need the Holy Ghost one more time. Since we're all in here telling stories, one time is this all right? Is this all right? I was 16 years old. I played basketball for about 4 hours going back and forth. Anybody here play basketball? Play basketball? Anybody here did try to play basketball? Amen. And I played 4 hours back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It sprained my fingers, sprained my both of my ankles. And it was Thursday night. And so I went to church and I was just haphazard and lethargic. And I sat in the back pew and, you know, it's like, you're there, but you're not there. You're just there because somebody said it's service. And so you say, I got to make it to church. Hallelujah. You're really not there. You just want attendance. That's what it's like. Students who sleep in the class, they just want to take their attendance. That's all it is. It's just attendance matters. I'm here, but don't expect anything from me tonight because I'm tired and I'm used up. I know it's the house of God, but look, you got to understand me. I've worked so hard, and God spoke to my ear, and He said, you played 4 hours of basketball for yourself. Don't expect to sit there. And my body went. I got up off that pew and I started jumping up and down. My ankles straightened up. Everything around me straightened up. Hey, look, you do so much for yourself. And you think you're going all along 16 hours at work. And here on church, you think it's time to sleep. You came to the wrong place. This ain't your living room. This is God's house. It might be tight, but it's right. Yeah. Clap your hands, all you people. That's easy to do. Yeah. Clap your hands. See, everybody can do that. Yeah. But is there a true worshiper? Yeah. One that God is looking for in this house. Is when our worship comes from both the truth and the command of God, or the spirit, or the desire, or the will. True worship are those who worship God creatively by their own choice. Yeah. Yeah. David, nobody told you to take every sixth step and worship me. Nobody ever told you to dance. It was not in the laws. It was not commanded of you to dance. But when Michael, his wife, came to him and said, you made yourself look vile today. David said, I'll look even worse. Because honey, it ain't for you. We come sometimes with our suits and we don't want to sweat it up. Praise God. If you don't like sweating your suit up, praise God, bring on jeans, brother. Bring something here that can get you sweat. Besides the point, there's always the washing machine. And there's always the dry cleaners. So, hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. God is on a manhunt. The search is on. I said the search is on.
for somebody. God is looking for a young man and an older man. Sometimes when we get old, we think, that's all for the young people. They jump in, that's all for them. Come on, come on. That's all for them. Let them jump in a while. Let them shout a while. It's their time. My time. I'm just a word person. I just love hearing the word. You can't get the real meat of the word unless you worship the God of the word. Hallelujah, because he is the word. Hallelujah. Arthritis is kicking in. The reason why it kicked in because you didn't kick it out. Hallelujah. You should have danced. You should have danced it out and said, arthritis, you can't hold me back. God is worthy of praise. I'll praise God through the pain. I'll praise God through the rain. I'll praise God. Praise God. Well, I can't preach this anymore. We're just gonna praise God right now. Now don't do anything somebody will get surprised at. Now don't you dare do nothing. That somebody may say, Oh, that's strange. Oh, don't you do it. Don't you just be yourself. Just be yourself. Just do exactly what the preacher says. And you'll just be a regular person.
Tired and it's late at night, but can we push ourselves for worshiping God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, somebody will break out today. Come on. Are you God? Are you what God is looking for tonight? Do you have what God is looking for? Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have a victory.
Hallelujah.
It always will be God.
Yes.
Well, I know God
My Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.
Praise Him. Somebody praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Somebody give Him praise.
You had to do that. It's great, isn't it? Amen. Bless you, my sister. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Praise God. All right. We need to have prayer for Sister Isabel. She's been having a flare up with her heart the last couple of days. Put your hands up close. Let's pray for her. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you right now, God, on the authority of your word. Lord, take away the weakness, take away the suffering, give her strength, heal in Jesus' name. I want to praise you for it, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. My Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus. My Lord Jesus. Man. Great service. Praise God. Amen. Sister Sharon needs prayer. Let's believe God together tonight. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to go to the root of the problem. You made the body. You're able to heal the body. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we're healed. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing, there's salvation, there's everything we need. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you now, and I believe you. Give you praise for healing her body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. According to your will. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, there's no telling. Got a baby that's sick. Let's get this baby well tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Let's pray. Right now, Jesus, Lord, we touch and we agree. Lord, for healing for this baby who's ill tonight. Lord, we ask you to heal. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, you're able. God, you've always been able. And Lord, you've done it so many times. And your word says that we can ask and receive, seek and find. Oh, Jesus, 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 we ask. We seek you. Thank you, Jesus. Heal this baby. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.